Can I ask him a question?
You can absolutely do that.
What is Marcus Stroman?
Yeah, that's, I like the fact that you asked it like Jeopardy style, right? Like, what is Marcus Stroman? Like, rather than what's wrong with him, just what is he? He's a guy who was heavily touted, who was great last season, won a gold glove, was the ace of the staff, and now is a disaster, and they're hoping by putting him on the DL, they can buy him a little bit of time, and this is where it really gets tricky, right? They use terms like, you know, tightness or fatigue or dead arm or whatever the hell it is. Like, but basically what it means is the guy stinks. And they're just trying to buy some time. And the good news is that you say, all right, maybe by taking a seat and maybe a little rest and relaxation, clear on the head, you'll be all right. It's obviously better than hearing Tommy John or ligament tear or rotator cuff surgery, et cetera. But it's been a huge disappointment so far. There's no doubt about it.
And remember, wasn't it spring training, Pinder, where he was having...
Late start, yeah. Little shoulder tightness.
Oh, but it's fine. Don't worry. There's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. It's always something to see here when it comes to that sort of thing, it seems like.
Yeah, I agree with you, Boomer. Like, especially in spring training, you go, hang on, these guys haven't done much, theoretically. I mean, I know guys are always lifting and working out, eating healthy, et cetera. But when you come out of the gate, tightness, you go, what do you mean? Like, you should be okay. Like, stretch it out. Take time if it's okay. So you're right. Whenever it's precautionary, missing a start in spring, and then the guy gets off to the kind of start he has, which is abysmal, then you're right. It steamrolls.
You know the most dangerous two words to use when describing Marcus Stroman?
No.
Ricky Romero. Is that not the scariest tale ever? Oh, my God.
Pinder, don't say it. Oh, my God. The expectations are Ricky Romero. You're right. The great lefty, highly touted, young stud, and then, my goodness, completely flamed out. You're right. That's the last thing you want to hear, especially with Stroman. You worry because he's a small guy. I'm a small guy. I like to support these little creatures out there on the baseball diamond of no respect being there. But you go, he's going to be frail eventually. How can he hold up? And that's the concern. You're right, man. Wow, Ricky Romero, what a name from the past.
Boston Red Sox, not worried about them as far as their record is concerned, but I was mentioning this morning, after that incredible start, they've settled in now 11-11, so 500 over the last 22, which, again, they were not going to keep up at the clip. But what has been the story for them over the last few weeks?
Starting pitching, Boomer, has fallen apart a little bit. Their numbers, when they came out to that, they won 17 of the first 19 games. They had the second-best ERA in the majors, and now they're starting pitching over the last stretch that you mentioned. It's actually 22nd, and Rick Porcello, who, again, a former Cy Young Award winner, came out like gangbusters his first four starts, 1.64 ERA. Now it's 4.5 over his last four starts. And, you know, last night was clearly symptomatic of it. Lots of runs being scored, back and forth it goes. But against Oakland, which is a 500 team, you think Boston should be able to take care of business at Fenway, but that was not the case. So pitching is the issue right now. And you're right, they weren't going to be able to keep it up, but compared to the way your Yankees are rolling right now, it's going to be a two-horse race, and Boston knows they got to figure some things out. And speaking of injuries and concerns, David Price is their own giant concern. They want to figure him out at some point.
Now, Pinder, did you hear about David Price? And is this true, Adnan? Because I have a teenager living in my house, and he is on this game, Fortnite, which is an online thing. You play it with your buddies, you wear the headset, and hours and hours will be consumed if you let him do it. And this caused David Price carpal tunnel by playing this video game?
Yeah, I'm glad they gave us some clarity, because when I heard carpal tunnel, think about it. If I just said to you, like, word association, carpal tunnel, which occupation gets that? You'd go, I don't know, computer programmer. Like, just somebody at a desk all day typing. I guess they, an accountant, perhaps, would suffer from carpal tunnel. A legal secretary. How is a baseball player getting carpal tunnel? And then thankfully they gave more information, and you're right. They said he plays Fortnite all the time, which I'm with you. My eldest is 10. He wants to play Fortnite. It's way too violent for him, but I hear it's a great game. So I'm not being disingenuous. But David Price, listen, you know the way guys are, right? You go to a ballpark, all they do is they play video games, they listen to music, they're hanging out. And so it's not that surprising to think he's playing it for hours and hours and hours, because all athletes are like big kids themselves, and especially as a pitcher, he's only pitching every five. He's got plenty of downtime. So, yeah, I guess if you're playing for 4, 5, 6 hours a day, it could cause some issues. So this isn't quite like when our boy Aaron Boone, you know, suffered a basketball injury after that huge home run in 2003 and the Yankees got A-Rod. Like, that's one of those, all right, that happens. This is carpal tunnel. This was avoidable. If this is all that's going to happen, David Price, no more Fortnite, you're going to pitch with the guy who used to be one of the best pitchers in baseball, that'd be an enormous win and a great endorsement for Fortnite. Like, hey, if you want to avoid carpal tunnel, don't do it.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, be dangerous. Play Fortnite.
Adnan Virk is our guest here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning. Baseball has the weirdest injuries, doesn't it? What off the top of your head, guys falling on stairs while holding luggage, like these sorts of injuries.
Yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot, but what are some of them?
I remember the Jays, I want to say, Pinero will correct me, but Glenn Allen Hale, I believe, was terrified of spiders and suffered an unbelievable injury, like sleepwalking because of spiders. Like 1987, I want to say. I can't remember now but with the player, but he suffered a violent back injury due to sneezing.
Yeah, he woke from a nightmare about spiders chasing him. Fell through a glass table.
That's right. That's awful that I'm laughing, but think about that. Like, God. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, imagine this doing this. I would just always think people would lie, right? Like, no, I was a Cape Crusader. I'm actually Batman. I was saving this woman in distress. But no, I'm terrified of spiders. That's why I'm gone for 2 months.
Marty Cordova.
Look at the picture. There's a pitcher who had, like, suffered a back injury due to a violent sneeze. It was, like, relatively recently. I want to say 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
There's a sneeze that put a man on the DL very recently.
I've got a list of bad injuries. Ken Griffey, because of his protective cup slipping and pinching. That'll
do it.
That's no fun. Marty Cordova missed time with the Orioles in 2002 because he scorched his face in a tanning bed.
Yeah.
Couldn't go out in the sun.
In fairness, pretty good-looking guy, and the tan looked great, but, yeah, it wasn't worth
it. Price apparently not new to the gaming world. He was routinely apparently in the top 100 of, what was a big game they had? I'm reading it right now. Call of Duty, like when he was at university. That's all he did. This is the millennial athlete. They make tons of dough, and then they want to play video games in their spare time.
And specifically, Pinder, starting pitchers, because I'm telling you, those guys have the most time on their hands. I used to work with Mark Mulder, who's a great guy, and he's a tremendous golfer. Whenever you see like a pro-am, Mark Mulder shows up, and he beats everybody. And he goes, well, it's because we only pitch every 5 days. And before, that generation used to golf all the time. Now they're just playing video games. That's how baseball's changed. Before, star pitchers like John Smoltz, unbelievable golfer. Now you'll be like Corey Kluber, I don't think he golfs, but I bet you he's unbelievable at Fortnite. That's the way the world has changed.
There's now conflicting reports. It was John Smoltz. The story was that he burned himself while ironing a shirt that he was wearing at the time. But Smoltz went out of his way. He's like, that's the most ridiculous thing. Somebody else says, Greg Maddux. No, it was Smoltz who was with the Braves at the time. Russell Martin passed out in a steam room.
Ricky Henderson had frostbite in August.
What? That's not easy.
It's so great.
It's like they want to be caught, right? Like, it's such an outlandish story because the actual story is there was a woman, it was late night, there was drugs. No. Hey, I had frostbite. Okay, fine. Just leave me alone. Okay, fine. Can't play. All right.
And then it was, 2 years ago when Trevor Bauer cut his finger on the drone?
Yes.
And there was blood on the rubber.
Yeah, that is a new age injury. Right? Like, there's no way Sandy Koufax is dealing with this type of thing. If you told Sandy Koufax the guy was hurt by a drone, he'd be like, I don't understand what you're saying. What language are we speaking? What year are we in?
One guy that was perhaps not playing enough video games and was out socializing a little too much is Matt Harvey. Walk us through the last few weeks for him and what's left in the career of the former ace of the Mets.
Yeah, amazing to think, Ryan, what's happened to this guy. I mean, you're right. He was the toast of the town. He used to work for Curt Schilling. Schilling goes to one of the top five pitchers in baseball. He's going to be a future Hall of Famer. Like, people were in love with this guy because of his motion and his delivery. And like you said, he played for the Mets, of course. New York team people are going to be paying attention to you. But partying way too much, and I think he acknowledged the fact that his extracurricular activities probably kept him out of the best possible physical baseball shape. Then injuries happen, which, you know, how can you prevent that? Tommy John, et cetera. And that normally takes 2 years to get back from, but ever since he's been back this year, expected to be a key cog, it was dreadful. They designated for an assignment. He did not want to go to the minors. Okay, we're done. The era's over. And now you're on the Reds. You're going from the Mets to the Reds, but pitched well for the Reds. Was on a pitch count. His first start looked pretty good. I think the big thing for him is, guys, he did not want to be a reliever, right? So when the Mets already put him in the bullpen, he didn't pitch well in a couple outings there. Clearly, his pride affects him. He's not going to go to the minors. But as a starter on a Reds team, which was terrible, guys, they were the worst team in baseball the first month. They're actually coming on strong. They just swept the Dodgers. They've actually won 6 straight. So, you know what? On to second chances. I'm skeptical he'll ever get anywhere back to what he used to be. But if he can be the number 3 starter on the Reds, I mean, that's definitely possible. Although the nightlife in Cincinnati is not quite New York City.
I'm going to ask you a question that is one of those evergreen questions as of late. You can ask it whenever you'd like. But Baltimore, so bad in their division. This is a terrible season for them. They have Manny Machado to deal with, and I saw a New York newspaper today was talking about Bryce Harper. What do you see happening with I guess, either of these to Washington much more in the conversation, but is there a Machado trade coming in advance of free agency and with the Yankees doing Giancarlo Stanton? Are they legitimately still an option for Harper?
I don't think so. Prior to the Stanton move, I think Harper could have been an option, but honestly, they're loaded now with Stanton and Judge, not only in terms of talent, but also salary. And then you add in Aaron Hicks and Brett Gardner and whatever lifeless lump Jacoby Ellsbury is now. So obviously the outfield, they're set. Machado's the one that's interesting, Boomer. He's going to go somewhere. Like you said, Baltimore's awful. Peter Angelos is not going to pay Manny Machado $200 million over 7 years, whatever the hell he's going to get. He's having a tremendous start to the season. He's one of the best shortstops in the game, now back to his natural position. The one that I heard that was intriguing is the Cubs. Addison Russell was expected to be a top prospect, a lot of expectations. At least good, but not great. And this happens. Like after 3 years, you watch a guy and go, all right, he's okay, but he's not going to be the superstar we thought he was going to be. And if the Cubs want to get over the hump, they're actually in a four-team race right now. Aside from the aforementioned Reds, it's really, you know, it's wide open right now in the Central. The Pirates are there, the Cardinals are there, the Brewers have been actually playing really good baseball. So the Cubs, because Theo's got so many good prospects, could go, what the hell? Let's just go ahead and get Manny Machado, which would be amazing. All of a sudden you add him to Rizzo and Bryant, and the Cubs get their swagger back. That's one that's very intriguing because they've got the prospects, and you could flip Russell to Baltimore and feel like Baltimore's, all right, he's a young player, he needs more time to mature, let's go from there. But make no mistake, Machado's going to get dealt before the trade deadline in July. And Harper, I think he's going to play it out. I was concerned about the Nationals, but they've been playing red hot. The hottest team right now in baseball is the Yankees. Number two is the Nationals, and they're actually playing each other tomorrow night. Scherzer's been unbelievable. Harper actually, the first month was great. He's actually cooled down, especially with regards to power the last month or so. But I don't think he gets dealt. I think he plays it out in Washington, and then he goes somewhere, but I don't think the Yankees.
What about Donaldson? Does a move for him make sense to a place like St. Louis if the Cubs are in on Machado?
Yeah, that's the one that I think is a good fit, Pinder, especially now the Jays. Listen, it's a nice start, but now they're a 500 team. And with the Osuna stuff and Stroman struggling, you go, all right, this is probably just a 500 team, and they're not going to be going anywhere, and Donaldson is not going to get re-signed. So, yes, St. Louis is actually one we heard rumblings about in the past, and they're a team that's kind of in contention, and so you go, why not? That would be a guy who would be a good boost. You go AL to NL, you figure his offense is going to be fine. Obviously, defensively, he can do a lot of things for St. Louis at third. So, yeah, the Cardinals are the team that I haven't mentioned with Donaldson, and they've got some good young chips that they could deal that I think Toronto will be willing to get.
Will you be sitting down with the family this weekend to watch the royal wedding? Pop some corn for the kids? Get all gather around?
It's funny. My wife just mentioned it to me about the royal wedding. So I don't. She's going to be locked into it. Priyanka Chopra is going to be there. She's great. I mean, George Clooney, sure. But I'll get the recap from her. Maybe catch highlights in 15 seconds. What I'm doing this weekend, though, and I want all three of you to do this, is go see Deadpool 2. Hmm. I was lucky enough to get a screener because I'm interviewing the director, David Leitch, later today for my podcast, Cinephile, on iTunes. And, guys, it's hilarious. I know all of you have seen the first Deadpool, and I'm always skeptical with sequels because the first one was so irreverent and so funny and so fresh. How can you top it? Well, it doesn't have the same freshness. You know what you're getting now with Deadpool 2, but still wickedly funny. A couple of Canadian jokes just for us because Ryan Reynolds is a proud Canadian and a really good cast. It's terrific, guys. You guys will really enjoy it.
Now, I haven't seen Deadpool. Do I need to do that?
You need to see the first one before the...
No, you have to see the first one, yeah. Because I don't want to be one of those guys, Boomer, like with Infinity War, they're like, well, it would help if you've seen all the Wolverines and a couple Guardians of the Galaxy. No, you don't have to do that with Infinity War. It's just a bunch of nonsense. Or mayhem, I should say, in a good way. Deadpool 2, though, no, I would think the first one would definitely be helpful. And the kids, it is R-rated. Maybe your eldest can watch it. The teenager can watch it. The other two, I'm not sure.
Fair enough. I appreciate it. Have a great week. You're doing great work, Adnan. Sure. You're doing so great.
See you in September, Adnan.
Rhett's done. He's about to take his massive vacation.
Yeah,
here.
Rhett Warner.
Very proud of him.
Rhett doesn't work 12 months a year. He works from September until May and then takes the summer off.
Got to watch ball.
Rhett's going to wait until the Cup Finals over, no? Mid-June?
No, he's done on Friday.
Friday, yeah.
And we'll hit the door running. It'll be like the Kool-Aid Kid or whatever when leaves the imprint in the door.
Yeah.
Just flying right out of here.
Hopefully he gets to the Blitz Average concert before he goes. Have a great summer, Red.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye, Adnan.
Take care, guys.